You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. Before we get to Tim Grenhardt in studio, I want to remind people that Sports Radio 810 will be out and about today. First, with Todd Lebo from 11 until 1. You can go see Todd at Rally House across from Oak Park Mall at 9750 Corvira Road. Listen to this. They got a great sale going on. You can shop comfortably outside during their tent sale. Great deals on Chiefs and Royals and the local schools. 40% off Royals Majestic jerseys. Chiefs Super Bowl gear as low as $10. Team face mask available for purchase. Now they're also selling hand sanitizer. So you get your masks and hand sanitizer. You get your team mask. Be safe. Be responsible and support your team. You could also get a $20 gift card, perhaps, or another prize from Todd Lebo. We're also, I think they have a dunk tank set up for Todd. You could go out there and dunk them. If they don't have one, I think I just made that up.
But yeah.
That sure sounds like a good idea.
I'd go to that.
Perspective, exactly. Social distancing, stay far away, throw a baseball at him and see if he falls in the water. That sounds like a good remote to me. Sales staff, take note. Also,
hey,
this afternoon,
it's Lebo.
That's right, it's Lebo. But then this afternoon, Nate, if you think of all the on-air personalities, when I tell you, when I just say the word beef, who do you think of?
Curtis Siebel.
Exactly right. Correct. 110% correct. When you think beef, you think Curtis Siebel.
Well, he's a beefcake, you know.
Well, okay. Well, that's unexpected, but a very nice compliment to Curtis Siebel. 2 o'clock, he'll be at the Hen House of 135th in Metcalf.
Plus, he's always beefing with people on Twitter.
Yeah. Now, that's what I was in. He's always got Twitter beefs. Twitter beefs.
Yeah.
Grunty's had a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the Hen House, 135th and Metcalf, and pick up your free copy of the Sports Radio 810 World Champions Collector's Edition magazine. I love it. And while you're there at Hen House with Curtis Siebel, you can also see the beef that made Kansas City famous. No, not Curtis. The certified Hereford beef. Hen House Markets features the best meat in town, certified Hereford beef, and boy, they really do there with Curtis, and so it's going to be a fun time. Grunty, why don't you stop out there at Hen House, 135th and Metcalf, and get some beef, say hello to Curtis, and get yourself a copy of the Sports Radio 810 World Champions Collector's Edition.
Curtis Siebel.
I can do it, and then get ready and sit back and watch the Kansas Speedway race tonight. Very excited about that.
Give us a pick. You heard us making some picks. We're trying to get Jake headed in the right direction now. We talked about long shots. Who did
Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
What do you got? Give us some insight.
Well,
here. Come on.
Kyle Busch is due. I'll just run down. I'm going to run down. You know, I do my DraftKings fantasy. I'll run down who I have.
I'll listen to this.
Steven will be doing that as you do this. So let's go.
Here's the deal. I always go with, especially at the Kansas Speedway teams. It's funny how it usually is won by teams. So if you look back to last year, the Gibbs Racing team had four drivers in the top seven. It's just how it's set up.
They know the setup.
Yeah, it's the setup at Kansas Speedway is so, so important. So I am going with the Stewart Haas team in this, and then I'm going to throw a couple guys in. But I'm going Amarola, the number 10 car. I am going with Clint Bowyer. I know Clint's upset. He's a local guy, but he's also part of that Stewart Haas team. I'm also going with Cole Custer, who is part of the Stewart Haas team. And then I'm breaking away because I do think that now I have Kyle Busch. I think Kyle Busch is going to be the winner of this race. I agree with the Kirk Elliott that he's due. He really does well at the Kansas Speedway, does well at mile and a half tracks, and he is due to win. He's too good of a driver not to have had a win yet this season. And then I'm going to go with Matt Kenseth, who's a guy who has a lot of success, and he's on the cheap here if you're going to do DraftKings. Matt Kenseth is on the cheap. He's like $6,900, but he's a guy that He's a very veteran guy, and just like Kirk said, the veteran guys do well at the Kansas Speedway. It's all about positioning. It's all about kind of knowing how to get into those turns and take advantage of the downforce when you go up on the new grading and on the turns. You know, remember the Kansas Speedway changed their gradings over the last 4 or 5 years when they repaved the track. So it's really important to go with – I go with teams, so I think Stuart Haas' team is going to do well. I also think that the Joe Gibbs teams will do well. So you go with the big teams, and then you find a couple guys that fit in, and I think Kenseth is a guy to fit into that because he's a veteran guy. So I think Kyle Busch is going to win the race, but I do think that I'm going with the Stuart Haas guys. I just have a good feeling the Stuart Haas guys will have at least two or three guys in the top 10, and if you can pull that off with the winner, you have a pretty good chance of making some cash. How do you like
that's
that?
That's two guests picking the same driver to win.
Wow.
Jake, if you don't, I mean, that's.
I do like Tyler Reddick a lot. I like
those odds for sure, huh?
In fact, I texted my son who might have a connection to do something. But you know what? The good thing about NASCAR right now, and I know there's not a lot of big time NASCAR fans in Kansas City. It's starting to grow a little bit because we have the Kansas Speedway, we have a couple races. But, you know, everybody's talking about how did NASCAR kind of lose its mojo? Well, first of all sports have kind of lost their mojo over the last couple of years. You see baseball has been down a little bit and you know, some other sports have kind of taken a hit as far as popularity. I think that NASCAR, and we talked about this last night with the guys, you lose a guy like Jeff Gordon, you lose a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr., you lose a guy like Tony Stewart, you lose a lot of these big personalities, and you know, people are going to kind of tune off a little bit. Now that there's really nothing else to watch, I think that people are starting to tune in a little bit. And there's some young guys. Cole Custer's a hell of a racer. Chris Bell, another young guy. Tyler Reddick, another young guy. Nemechek has a son who's good now too. So there are some young guys that are coming up that are going to be exciting. So if my advice to you is give NASCAR another chance, you know, it is an acquired taste. NASCAR is an acquired taste, and I was in it big time in the 90s. Remember now, I worked at the Daytona International Speedway for 3 years in the off season when I had my place down in Florida. And I'll give you guys a quick story. So Dale Earnhardt Sr., the number three car. Rick Sutcliffe was real good buddies with him. So I got to meet him a couple times. In fact, the one time that he came in here to Kansas City to sign some autographs over at the mall up north, we picked him up at the airport in a limo. You know, he had a couple drinks, barbecue, and all that kind of stuff. Well, we ran out of provisions. Of course, Sutcliffe and I ran out of provisions, right? So we ran over to the liquor store and got some more beer and stuff so that, you know, that he could have some, and obviously we can have some on his way back. Well, make a long story short, they finished this autograph signing a little bit early. So Dale was waiting for us to get back. And Dale Earnhardt was not a guy who was going to wait on people. So he just grabbed a couple guys. Hey, you give me a ride to the airport. Can you imagine a couple guys out of nowhere saying, hey, Dale Earnhardt, give Dale Earnhardt a ride to the airport. Now, I think this was the executive airport over in Olathe. But so he, you know, gets in the car. So we drive back, and Dale Earnhardt's gone. So Sutcliffe's freaking out, and I'm freaking out. So we get back over. We thought he's going to be all, yeah, don't worry about it. He wasn't very happy, obviously. So when I was working at the Daytona Speedway, I would take, like, for example, the governor of Kansas came in, or a senator from Kansas, when they were trying to you know, sell the building of the track here in Kansas City, Kansas. In fact, I was at Kansas City, Kansas when they broke ground, and Rusty Wallace was one of the guys who was driving the bulldozer to the straightaway for the first turn. I was there for that ceremony. So, you know, I had some connections with the Kansas Speedway also. So I go, and I'm introducing people to Dale, and he's being really nice to the governor, being real nice, but he just hated me. And I was like, man, oh, man, either A, he has no idea who I am, and I met him a ton of times, or B, he just does not like me because we left him at the mall. So the very first night race at the Daytona International Speedway, if you guys think back, Dale Earnhardt did the initial five laps, which was a big-time thing at Daytona for somebody to do the first night laps at Daytona. So I'm with the team. I'm there, and I'm, you know, Chocolate Myers and David Allen and a bunch of guys that are really good buddies with Dale. I was there, and I'm, you know, helping push the car out. We're having a good time, and all of a sudden I feel somebody kick me in the back of my knee, and I fall face first into the car. I look back, and it's Dale. And he goes, "Payback's a bitch for leaving me at the mall." And then after that, we were friends. After that, he was great. But it took about a year and a half, 2 years for him to forgive me because he was pissed at me. He thought Sutcliffe probably sold me out. Rick, if you're listening, he probably said, "Grunar wanted to go." So, you know, we became friends. And in fact, I was invited to his funeral. I have the invitation hanging on my wall in the basement of my house, invited to his funeral, which was a great honor for me to be invited to it. I think we were playing or something, or I couldn't go for some reason. But I was invited to his funeral. So I love NASCAR. I love the people of NASCAR. Got to know the France family and Lisa Kennedy, who's the daughter who actually runs a lot of the ISC and does a lot of work for the Kansas Speedway. Got to know a lot of those people, and they're great people. So I'm glad that NASCAR's starting to get a little bump again. And it got a little bump again because it's really the only show in town. People are starting to watch it again because there was no other sports. So let's hope that they keep momentum, because I think NASCAR is an important sport in our country, and it's fun to watch, and let's hope it stays healthy.
Tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810, 6 o'clock, is the NASCAR pre-race show that at 6:30 you can listen to the race. Again, right here tonight, Grunny, on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, NASCAR is the biggest reason that my hometown of KCK has had their biggest economic development of my lifetime.
You're welcome.
I mean, honestly, you know, I grown up in KCK, there wasn't really, if you didn't live in KCK in the 90s, there was no reason to go to KCK.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't anything there.
You hit it right in the head, because part of my job was, when I was at the Kansas Speedway and ISC offices, was to call a lot of the representatives in the state of Kansas, and obviously also in Wyandotte County. And it was a hard sell. People were like, wow, they're giving too much TIF money. We're not a very wealthy county. We're not a very wealthy city, and it's going to be hard to take some of those tax monies and the TIF money away. And we just kept saying, hey, you know what, just think about the building that's going to go on and all the positive things and all the people coming into town and doing, and it has. And if you look at just that Kansas Speedway, you know, obviously the T-Bones were there first, but, you know, it's exploded with the sporting.
Were they? I thought the racetrack was first.
No, I think the T-Bones were first.
I know that from talking to all the officials that work in the unified government there, that the racetrack was the linchpin to the whole thing, though.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Children's Mercy Park being there, the Legends being there, Cerner's building being there. Now you've got the Dairy Farmers of America right across the street, mm-hmm. the Pinnacle Complex, Menards going there, all that stuff. It all really started with the racetrack was what started the whole thing.
Now that maybe I'm wrong, but I think I remember going to T-Bone games in the early 90s, and I think that the Speedway came in the early 2000s or late, yeah, early 2000s.
T-Bone's Park was built in 2003. That's when it opened in Kansas Speedway, 2001.
Okay, well, I was wrong. But
so NASCAR did it. NASCAR, I mean, honestly, yeah. it started that whole development in West. I mean, we used to live. My dad moved us out to Piper when I was in like seventh grade, and there was nothing out there, nothing.
There was a lot of people that were upset with the end.
There's a lake out there.
that's right.
What is
that's
it called?
Right, buddy.
Intimate domain. Is that what it's called?
We're imminent domain.
Imminent.
I would say intimate.
Intimate domain's okay.
I can tell you about an intimate domain here.
But a lot of people were upset with that, because there were a lot of people's houses. You know, they did pay good money for the houses, but a lot of people had in their roots in that area. And I'm sure there's people listening right now that probably had aunts or uncles or grandparents or friends that lived where the Kansas Speedway is now, and were, you know, they weren't real happy about being moved out, but it did. It was a seed that grew that area, and they've done a really good job in Kansas City, Kansas, of really just the economic boom in that area has been great.
All right, Timmy, NFL, yeah. No preseason. What do you think?
Well, it was funny, because I talked to our friendly quarterback yesterday. I saw him out on the golf course, and he, you know, was, and I'm sure he wouldn't be mad about this, but he took out the backups. I were with him, the backup quarterbacks, and a certain tight end. They were out there, and just said hello, because we Groza wanted to go over and ask Kelsey if he wanted to play on Sunday. So we went over and kind of hung out with him, watched him tee off. And but I'll tell you what, they all can hit the ball a long, long way. But, you know, I said, hey, what do you think? No preseason games. And the comment was back was like, you know what? I mean, we have 20 or 22 guys coming back. And, you know, I think pretty much everybody's on the same page. So it really won't hurt us particularly that much because, you know, the communication and you know, just knowing the way to play and how to get things done with each other is already there with this group. But, you know, I did mention, I said, yes, this is going to be weird, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, you're going to go right from basically OTAs to kind of helmets and shoulder pads to full pads, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a game. And the timing and just the speed of the game is going to be something they're going to have to catch up with. And they agreed with that. I mean, it's going to be strange. So, and you know, preseason games are one of those things that you love to hate. But you need them. I needed preseason games because I felt that I needed to pick up that speed again. Because, and I've told people this all the time, you know, when you're in practice, there's one speed. And then a preseason game, there's another speed. And then in the regular season, there's a speed, and it picks up about a step, step and a half. And then the playoffs pick up even more than that. So each level, each tier of playing, whether it's OTAs to training camp to practices to preseason games to regular season games, you know, the tempo is a lot faster and quicker as you move up that ladder. And these guys aren't going to get a taste of that. So that'll be the only thing that concerns me for A, just timing, and B, you know, I don't want to get guys hurt because, you know, you got a guy if you're a center and you got a guy in your A gap and in practice, you know, and I said this the other day, you're going against your brother, you know, Joe brother-in-law, and you know, he's letting you win the offensive periods and you're basically letting him win the defensive periods, and you know, so you both have success and you're learning what you're doing, and that's just part of it. But all of a sudden now you have a guy like Aaron Donald lined up in that A gap coming up the field, and he's at a whole different speed that you've seen thus far in practice or, you know, in training camp, and that could be a shock. And then you don't want to get people hurt that way. So I understand why they're not having preseason games. I think preseason games, one or two, are valuable, but I could see why they're not having them.
How did you do against Joe brother-in-law when you faced him?
That was Dan Saliamua. He was my, you know, I told that story before.
Yeah.
I was doing radio with a guy at another time at another place, and we brought on Dan Saliamua on the show, and I called, hey, my brother-in-law, Danny, what's up? And he, you know, Danny, hey, Gruny, what's going on? You know, blah 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 blah. So you know, he's like, oh, you know, my brother-in-law, love you, man, love you, brother-in-law. And so, like a couple weeks later, Sarah and I go to an event, and the guy who I was doing a radio with, he goes, Sarah doesn't look like she's Polynesian. And I was like, no, what are you talking about? I thought Dan Saliamua was your brother-in-law. I was like, his sister or something. I was like, no. He's my brother-in-law on the field. So, yeah, no. So you have a guy. Listen, that's just this, the only way to get through a NFL season, because, I mean, it's a long grind. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. That, you know, you've got to be able to take care of your body in practice. You got to get your work done, but yet you don't want a guy, blowing up the guy across from him or blowing up plays just so he can be Joe Scout team. You just don't need that. And so there are times when you have guys that are going to help you to stay healthy but get your job done in practice. And we used to call those guys brother-in-laws. I don't know if they call that anymore, but that's what it was. So. So Danny and I, man, many, many times have gone against each other and trying to get him better. The weird thing is when I played him when he was in Seattle, and I was like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do here? You know, I guess we gotta go full speed against each other. But those are the fond memories, and those are the things that you always remember.
I guess he divorced your sister at that point in time, you know?
Yeah, he disowned my sister. He disowned her. But
you got to tell yourself when he's wearing a different uniform all of a sudden.
But in that game, it rained so hard that I think we both just kind of laid on each other anyway. So that was the big rain game. But yeah, good stuff. Real good stuff.
Tim Grenhard is our guest. Anything else you want to tell us about your chance meeting yesterday with the quarterback?
He he can. They're playing from the tips at the certain golf course, and boy, he hits the ball a long way. They all do. Yeah, they hit the ball a long way. They're very athletic guys, very very athletic guys. And
what was he wearing?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
I'm trying to think how creepy we could get about this. Come on, tell us more.
Real creepy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what he was wearing, but I know that he can hit a golf ball a long way. Those guys are so athletic and strong.
He's long off the tee.
He is long off the tee, that's for sure.
Tim Grunhard is our guest.
I'm not sure where that's
Timmy,
going.
Well, yeah, I'm lost right now. so, Timmy, let's. We were talking earlier with Matt Derrick about these topics and about no preseason and now the roster limit moving down to 80. And clearly, and you've mentioned this, one of the big, for veterans, the guys that know they're on their team, they're all right, but. For undrafted free agents and guys that needed those reps and needed those preseason games, that's going to be a tremendous uphill battle to try to make the football team. And so how do you think NFL teams will handle the limited amount of padded practices and those limited opportunities to try to evaluate players? Clearly, It's going to be far more difficult to give a roster spot to those guys that don't have the opportunity to prove themselves.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate for guys that are trying to make a team coming out of college, or you know, if maybe you were on a practice squad somewhere else and now you're rotating to another team. It's very unfortunate. First of all, they took 10 guys off of the roster, so he went from 90 to 80, so that limits. So it takes 10 guys that didn't even have a chance that thought that maybe they were going to have an opportunity to go and show what they can do. Now, you know, that bottom 10's got a very, very little chance of making the team, you know, a 10% chance of making the team, but they still have that chance. Now they don't. So now you go to the number 80, and you got to get down to, you know, about, I think it's about 60 with practice squad and all that kind of stuff. So it's unfortunate, and it's going to be really hard. That's why I don't think you're going to see a lot of turnover in teams. The veteran guys and the guys who are on teams are pretty much set to make the team again this year. You're not going to see any big surprise cuts because it's just not enough time and not enough opportunity to not enough challenge in these practices to really make a move if you're a young guy. So it is unfortunate for those guys. So if you're a guy that's coming out of college as a free agent this year, this is the worst time and the worst timing that you possibly could have to try to make an NFL team.
Do we need to adjust our expectations for a guy like Willie Gay Jr., who we thought that maybe could step right in and be a huge impact player at linebacker? And even Ladarius Sneed too, stepping in, and they sure could use him to be able to come in and give them some more depth with Bashaud Breeland having a suspension and the numbers at corner. I know it shouldn't be that tough for a running back like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but do we adjust expectations for the rookie defensive players that were projected to make an impact this year?
Yeah, you do. I think that both of those guys will make an impact as the season progresses. But I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys heavily involved in special teams, whether it's, you know, kickoff return or kickoff coverage or punt return or punt coverage. I think you're going to see those guys heavily involved in that. And I think that they'll have certain packages that they go in during the game that, you know, in certain situations they go in. But I don't think you're going to see a rookie walk in and start in the first four games. The first quarter of the season is going to be, hey, let's just get our feet wet and kind of get our feet underneath us, and let's go with the guys that we know. Because coaches, and I've said this 1,000 times before, coaches are always going to bet on the veteran guys because they want to keep their jobs. If you put a young guy in and he doesn't have a lot of success and all of a sudden he's struggling and the group is struggling that you're coaching, then your job is on the line. So they're going to go with the veteran guy, the guy that they know, before they go with even a guy that's maybe a little bit more talented that they're not quite sure knows exactly what he's doing. So you're going to see in the first quarter of the season, maybe even the first half of the season, where the young guys, I think you'll see Hilaire in certain packages, maybe third down situations, maybe bouncing in and out in certain, you know, formations or whatever. But you're going to see the veteran guys out there on the field, the guys that they know can produce and they know what they're doing. So it is going to hamper and it's going to stunt the growth of some of these younger guys.
That's Tim Grenhardt. He's in studio with us on this Thursday, July 23rd. Thanks for hanging with us. Back after this with more on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is a jam. And no, I'm not talking about Nate talking to the microphone during the beginning of the segment. I'm talking about this song. This is a jam. You could feel this song in your bones if you listen.
Shakedown, baby.
This is a feel-good song. Tim Grenhardt, did you like the picture I tweeted of you to promote your appearance? I try to find something fun every day.
Oh. Wait, I didn't see it.
It's
look.
Your score rookie card.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
You in a Notre Dame uniform.
I had hair then. I'm starting to grow my hair back
rookie.
A little bit. Yeah.
So, okay, I like that card. Do you have that card? Do you own that card?
I do. I do have that card. You know, I had a, gosh, I was a big collector of cards. We baseball and football and actually hockey cards, and I actually had some basketball cards. We did it with my brother, and I did it with my father, and they started it probably in the late 60s, and then we did it all the way through the 70s. And I got in the league. If you have a card, they send you the whole pack, and then so for example, the score 1990 score pack of cards, you know, the whole thing.
The set,
and it was, you know, wasn't even opened. So we had a flood, and all my cards
got ruined. Oh, no.
And it wasn't that they weren't in, they were in a plastic tub, and they were, but the water came down from the ceiling into the top of it, and the top wasn't sealed correctly, and I got there, and they were floating around. It broke my heart. So I still have them. You know, and it's not that I would ever... you know, sell them anyways, but it just ruined the whole
thing. It's nice to have them, man.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. But, yeah, I do have those cards. That is one of my favorite cards. And then, of course, the card where I'm squeezing the ball, and people love to give me crap about my short shorts. But that was in back then, man. The early 90s, short shorts
were in. They're coming
back,
too.
Shorts are coming back. The John Stockton shorts. Yeah. You play basketball.
Those. So, yeah, so they, you know... It was kind of, they wanted to have a fun card, and I was a rookie, and they're like, hey, you want to do this card? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And so they, we did a couple different things, and then they said, why don't you take that ball and just try to squeeze it and break the ball and pop the ball? And I said, all right, we'll do that, and that was the one they chose. And, you know,
there you got to be real careful if someone tells you, if a photographer tells you to do that during a photo shoot. It could go south in a hurry.
It could go south, and there's been plenty of photo shoots I've done that have gone south. My Got Milk one was a very, I don't know if you guys remember, I had a big Got Milk growth door poster.
Yep.
And people still come up to me and say, guys, man, I had that growing up in my...
It had the measurement on it, right?
It had the measurement on it.
You stand up, okay, how tall am I?
I still haven't gotten up to Grunny's armpits yet, but someday.
Okay, do you guys remember...
But my gut in that one was just embarrassing.
Do you guys remember the NFL like advertising campaign that had the players as monsters?
Yes, Coca-Cola. They had like Craig Ironhead Hayward.
Right, right. And who was Derek Thomas like a tech cat? Like I got mad because I didn't think that they like why did they call him? Why is that his nickname? I was all fired up. I didn't like what they did with the Chiefs. But they had, like, do you remember that, Grunny?
I do remember that.
It was everywhere.
I was not involved in that campaign. I was not cool enough for that. But
you could have been.
But I was. But you know what? The cards that I had that were my favorite cards of all time growing up, they were not football cards. They were not baseball
garbage
cards.
Garbage Pail Kids.
No, they weren't. But it was similar to that. It was some cards that would have like you'd have like a can with wick worms coming out of it, and it had like these funny little sayings about in the cards. And I can't remember. I was gonna Google it, but I didn't get to that. But there were these cards, and I can't remember exactly what they were called. But in the early 70s, mid 70s, I know there are people out there right now that are saying I remember those cards. That like it would be just like it would be a play on a product. that would be like some kind of like gross thing. But it was really cool cards. I'll see if I can find it and retweet it out. But those are my favorite cards. So there you go.
You're absolutely right, Jake. Coca-Cola Monsters of the Gridiron, and I'm looking at all the different, and they have this poster of Derek Thomas as an attack cat, and I did not understand it, but that's fine.
Coca-Cola presents Monsters of the Gridiron.
The scariest thing about Coca-Cola's Monsters of the Gridiron is time is running out. Since millions have played, there are fewer monster packs available. Grab one and play Monsters of the Gridiron today.
Okay, I think I found it.
Kennedy was Tez Rex.
They were wacky packs. So, like, instead of, like, Ritz crackers, it was Rats crackers. Or instead of Dr. Pepper, it was Dr. Pooper.
Oh, yeah, hello. I remember those.
Yeah,
those
or, awesome. Don't want or that. It was Quaker Oats. And instead of Ajax, it was A-Jerk. Instead of Wheaties, it was Weekies. And that, like, instead of Hawaiian Punch, it was Hawaiian Punks. Those were my favorite cards. I love those things. I wonder if I could still find those.
There were 29 players that they went down. And yeah, Derek Thomas was number 28. He was the attack cat.
I want that. They had cards.
Was Montana in that?
Randall Cunningham was Rocket Man.
Marshall Faulk was the missile.
Trying to think. I don't see.
Jake will look for that, but Timmy, I wanted to play a clip for you to have you respond to this. Because Heather Dinich, ESPN college football reporter, was on yesterday, and she talked about the Notre Dame AD wanting a delayed season. So let's hear your AD. What they had to say to Heather Dinich from ESPN.
Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick told me yesterday that he would like to see the season delayed. And he said that decision because Notre Dame's student body is coming back on August 1st. He said it would give people more time to evaluate what that looks like with students on campus. Next week, football players are going to be going through walkthroughs. They're going to have a football in their hand. Coaches will be out there wearing masks with them. What does that all look like? When I asked him when he wants to start, he said it's like a Rubik's Cube. There's a lot of collaboration going on behind the scenes, a lot of decision making, but this is so important that Jack Swarbrick said it because he is extremely influential. He's the one athletic director who has a seat at the table with the 10 FBS commissioners on the College Football Playoff Management Committee.
Respond, please, Tim Gunhard.
Well, I know that the training camp for Notre Dame has been pushed back at least 20 days. So I think that is what's going to happen. I think you're going to see the first week of football being the 19th a Saturday. I think it's either
the 19th of September.
September. Is that a Saturday?
Let me get this little calendar up here.
You're going to see either the 19th or the 26th.
And that's the 19th is a Saturday.
There's going to be 8 to 10 games that are going to be played. What I think they're trying to do, and this is their rationale, is they're trying to see what effect bringing students onto campus has not only to the students but also to the athletes. So if there's all of a sudden a big, huge spike and you're getting ready to play your first game in September. So, for example, he's exactly right. August 1st is when the first week of August is when the freshmen have their orientation at Notre Dame. And then they have their first classes August 10th as a whole school. And then the football program was going to start their training camp on August 8th. Now they're starting their training camp at the end of August. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to see, you know, what the protocol and what the effect is going to be on the campus itself. Because just like in the NFL, there's going to be a number, okay? So whether it's 14 or whether it's 10 or whether it's 8, if there's a certain amount of guys that are sick or test positive and have to go into quarantine, they're not going to play that game. So in their schedule, they're going to have flex dates that are built in. They're one of the flex dates is in late October, I believe, which was their bye week, and every team's going to have that. And then another flex date is going to be the first weekend in December, which most teams don't play that, and that a lot of times it's kind of an off week as you go into the conference championships and you go into the Army-Navy game. So there'll be flex dates. So if all of a sudden you can't play a game, you'll move that game to the flex date. The one cool thing about what's happening with, I know people are like, what are you talking about Notre Dame? But this is kind of what's happening. So Notre Dame is going to play, I believe, Navy and then all ACC teams. Navy, they're going to play Navy, and I've explained this a million times, and I'll explain it again. Navy bailed Notre Dame out during the tough times that they had during the, what do they call it, when the stock market crashed and whatever. During that time, you know, they lost a ton of money. They lost a ton of students, and Navy bailed them out. So they said they'll always play Navy. So Notre Dame will play in the other conference again, on the other side of Clemson. So Notre Dame will be available and will be up to play in the ACC championship this year, which will be different. So the ACC really has bent over backwards, which was a smart thing for them to do, because this is a good way to get Notre Dame to just buy in and go into a conference, which I think they need to do. They just need to work it out with this NBC contract. They want to keep what they built, but yet they need to get into a conference. And I think the ACC is a natural conference for them, because every other sport is in the ACC. You know, when we go to our ACC championship at swimming, obviously it's ACC teams. So they need to get into a conference. And if the ACC would have played hardball and said, listen, either you do this or that during the conference, we won't play you, then they would have bailed and they would have went to the Big Ten or even the Big 12. They definitely would have done that, because they weren't going to be pushed around in this situation. So the ACC did a really good job of just, you know, working with that Notre Dame's program. And that Notre Dame has been in a tough position, because they lost their Big Ten game against Wisconsin. They lost their Pac-12 games against USC and Stanford. So they really needed somebody to bail them out.
Of all the places and teams I wish that I could have seen Missouri play in my lifetime, I wish Mizzou would have played at Notre Dame at least once. I remember when Kansas played at Notre Dame, I was like, oh, that would be so awesome able to go there and see that. Now, I've always held out hope, and it'll never happen.
Last time Notre Dame played Missouri, I think, was in Columbia, and Notre Dame lost to Missouri. That's what it was. So I think, you know, I think Notre Dame is intimidated and afraid to play Missouri, so they're just not going to do it.
Yeah. Let's take a break now. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have just a few minutes left with Tim Grunhard, but I did want to mention that, again, the Royals will be announcing their 30-man roster today at 11 a.m., so that's exciting. See that final roster. It'll be fluid, but still, it's just another step towards baseball.
Is Bubba going to start?
I don't know. He's red hot right now.
He is red hot.
He is.
Hunter Dozier, that him going on the IL improves his chances of making the team, but he's played well enough to be out there, and let's take a look. Let's find out about Bubba.
I had just a little bit of money left in my DraftKings. I do it with a couple buddies. We always do, you know, baseball games, like one a week. And Bubba was there, and I put him on it. I said, you know what? He's been hot. If he starts, you know, I think he was like $3,700. It was really cheap to put him on and fill out that roster. So I'm hoping, man, I'm hoping for it anyways. I love the kid. He is just a great kid and a great one of the best athletes I've ever seen here in Kansas City. And I coached against him. I mean, I'll never forget being on the sideline and when we were playing against Gardner Edgerton, and all of a sudden here's this big dude, you know, who has the ball just pouring it down the sideline. And I was like, man, I would not.
How did he do against you?
They won. He did good. You know what, though?
Did he light you up, Grunty? Just say it, man.
No, you know, I don't think they did. I think it was I think we played pretty good against him, but he was just a man amongst boys. But the very first play of the game, I think that the center snapped the ball like off, you know, the damn centers, and we recovered a fumble. He fumbled it and recovered it, and it was like, wow, here we go, and then reality hit. But But no, he was an unbelievable athlete. And gosh, I remember him playing basketball, over at Miege against, the Justin McKays and the Relifords and hanging with those guys. And it's just so cool to see a kid like that from Kansas City playing for the Royals. And I wish him luck, man. I'm really rooting for him. And I know the community over in Gardner-Edgerton is rooting for him, too. He's done a lot for those people.
We got 3 minutes left. Give me a win total for the Royals. How many wins will they get in the 60-game season? And then a win total for your beloved Cubs.
The Royals win 28 games.
Okay.
Hammer the over.
It's the over. Yeah. That's the over.
24
and
a half. That's
the over. I didn't even know. What was
24 and a half.
Yeah, no, they're over. They're over that. They're over that. And then the Cubs, 32. What's the Cubs over under?
Oh, boy.
I can find that for you.
I don't think.
And you, by the way, you're sitting with two unders right there between Nate and Jake.
Oh, are you? No. No,
you don't like that, do you?
Well, I haven't officially made my stake.
Oh, you officially? You dropped him from 28 to 24.
You can take my board. That's my official Border Patrol prediction, but the official prediction will be made with my pocket.
That's right. I think that the schedule sets up for the Royals. They get to play. They get to play,
Cubs 32, that's the over-under.
Oh, so I'm right on it.
You're on the number. So over-under 32.
Yeah, you can't just sit there.
I'm going to say under.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not real thrilled with
There's what, no what hook. I'm it's saying. Just straight 32, so you're saying under.
Yeah, I'm saying under. I'm saying 30.
So Royals
31.
Don't play the Cubs, huh? Even though,
yeah, they do.
Well, they do. Yeah, here we go. August 3rd through the 7th.
I think they play them six times.
I saw
Nate wants to bet you for that series, and what can Nate wear if the Cubs beat the Royals?
I'll wear a Sporting Kansas City jersey.
What will Nate wear?
Nate's got to wear a dress. No, he's worn a dress before.
I've worn a dress before. That's no big deal to me, buddy.
I'll wear a jersey. What's Nate got to wear? A dress.
Yeah. A dress. Right away. What's Nate got? A dress?
Why are some people so anxious to see you in a dress? Why is that always the...
Grunty would be far more uncomfortable in a soccer jersey than I would be in a dress. Let's be honest. you look like the Incredible Hulk in a soccer jersey.
It would have to be. If it's a Beasler jersey, I'll be happy to wear it.
Notre Dame Beasler jersey.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah,
I bet you Greg Beasler could get you a Notre Dame Beasler jersey.
That's great family.
I bet he couldn't because you'd destroy that jersey and he'd never see it again.
That's true.
Also, Nate, I wanted to make sure that you... because I know you don't pay attention to Twitter very often. I tweeted you a story.
I saw it.
About a motel. It looks like a fun place to take the family. It's apparently it's a haunted clown motel.
Ooh.
That features 2,000 different figurines and dolls and clowns, and they say it's haunted. It's right next to an old graveyard.
Yep.
And they have some themed room. They have the It room.
Why?
They have Friday the 13th room.
Why would you do that?
This is great.
By the
way, what do you think?
I can't even watch that. That Invisible Man movie, I refuse to watch it. That freaks me out.
You sit in the It. You could sleep in the It room, they said.
Well, I think that those little figurines might be creepier than clowns, to be honest with you.
But you get all of it. You don't have to.
You get it all in one shot.
You get everything that you want. Yeah. There. It's in Nevada.
Sounds great.
Is Bozo the Clown? Is there a Bozo the Clown room?
Probably. It's got a bunch of buckets in there. You're trying to throw ping pongs in it. You never do.
That's right. Grand prize game.
Did we lock you in? So you say 30. What did you say for the Cubs and the Royals? 30, lock him in.
31. The under Royals are over 28.
Under on the Cubs, over on the Royals, says Tim Grunhardt. And your pick for the race again?
Kyle Busch.
Okay.
With the win.
Take that to the bookie. Take that to the bank, says Tim Grunhard. Thank you for listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
See ya!